Grony Zone Radio.
Welcome to Grony Zone Radio, episode 31. And I'm here with my lovely wife.
Hi.
As always. And I need to remember not to hit the mic stand.
So right.
To move it a little bit there. Okay. I'm going to put my phone. All right. Good.
Y'all settled there, honey?
I think so.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Good.
We'll make sure you're comfortable.
I know. Okay.
What?
Nothing. All right. So today, I need to adjust this more.
Oh my goodness. Normally he's prepared more than this, folks.
Okay. So there we go. All right. Shall we start over again now?
No.
All right. This time we're going to talk about children, kids, and what we see.
Hey, but are we having like a spotlight or anything?
No.
Okay, wow.
You didn't want one.
No, that's fine. I think this needs to be a whole entire show because it's so important.
Then that's what we'll do.
Okay. I just wanted to check and make sure so that our listeners don't, you know, get kind of scared and go, wait a minute, the format's different. What happened to our spotlight? We're used to the spotlight.
I do want to read one thing really quick.
Okay, so well then it's a little flashlight.
Yeah, just tiny.
A little bitty flashlight. La, 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 la. Well, I thought I'd entertain with a little bit of music in between.
Alright. Well, we got an email from a gentleman in Florida. And he had some nice things to say about the show. And Tatooine TV. And so, you know, I mean, I was touched. The guy, you know, he listened to Tatooine TV and he really enjoyed it. And he just said, you know, thank you for, what? No, we're fine. Thank you for making us chuckle and all that. That was really cool.
That's good.
And he mentioned that, I should package up the older Tatooine TVs and put them on iTunes. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to kind of cut them down a little bit and have not really a best of, but anyway, just kind of a shortened version of them. So anyway, thank you so much if you're listening, sir, and I appreciate it. And so anyway, on to the main subject.
Yes.
Now, first of all, I'll start here. A little bit of a personal thing. I went to go see the doctor. You know, one of the top five favorite things of my life to do.
Sure.
Love to go see the doctor.
Sure.
I just can't wait. You know?
And he's being, of course, very sarcastic.
Yeah. And so, went to go see the doctor. And when I tipped the scale at 3:45, not p.m., my scale hit 3:45. So the doctor... It was around that time, but the doctor said it's either gastric bypass or a diet, and I really mean it this time. So I said, okay, and so I talked to Colleen about the gastric bypass. The conversation, it lasted a little shorter than I thought. It basically, she said, you know, we need to really look into this and make sure that we're fully... Yeah, aware of the consequences and up and down. So, what's the matter? Where are you going?
Nothing. I'm not going anywhere.
Okay. So, you know, I said, okay, time to go on a diet and walk a mile a day. And thus far, I have done so.
Yes,
so
you have.
I will continue to do that. I think it's important, and I want to stay around to do 100 Ronies on radios.
And how long have you been doing this? Walking and dieting.
Well, today is the 23rd of April.
Yes, that is
and
correct.
I started a week ago last Thursday.
Okay, so...
Well, Friday.
Okay,
so... Week ago Friday.
9 days.
Right.
And how much weight have you lost?
I would say 11 pounds.
That's pounds.
Yeah.
Just by walking a mile a day and cutting down your carbs.
Right. Correct. And just so I don't get it, no, I mean, Well, I don't care if people write me. That's fine. That'll be more email. So we'll just leave it at that. So anyway, the part of it is we love Disneyland. And
yes, we do.
So to incorporate that into the walking into our lives, I said, well, okay. Normally, when you go to Disneyland, you ride the tram.
From the parking structure.
From the parking structure.
Which is a half a mile away from the front gate.
So I said, okay, let's go to Disneyland. Let's have a good time, but let's walk from the parking structure to the front gate. And, you know, if we go in, we'll walk more. Maybe go up in the treehouse and walk on the stairs. Or we'll just have a sensible meal for dinner in downtown Disney. Mm-hmm. And then walk back.
Right.
Because that's a mile.
That's a mile.
Done.
A mile plus
a little
easy. Bit. Yeah.
So, anyway, so we like to go to Disneyland a lot. And let's just pull a couple of random situations out. Let's pull, let's say, last, when was it? Friday?
Friday night. Mm-hmm.
Friday night, we went to Disneyland.
No, it was Thursday, actually.
Thursday night, we went to Disneyland. We walked. And we decided we were going to go to the steakhouse at Disneyland Hotel.
Right.
So we went to Granville. Well, we were going over to Granville Steakhouse. So we walked across. And they were full up. And there was a 45-minute wait. So we would eat at 8:45. And
it
I said,
been a long
no.
Time. Yeah, that's
I don't
too
think
late.
So.
It's too late.
So we went to Hook's Point, which is the other restaurant there. And we got our table.
Right away.
And mm-hmm. all of a sudden, I kind of heard this kind of loud vocalization from this little boy. Mm-hmm. And then I saw the little blonde head kind of walk away from the table and kind of walk over, walk mm-hmm. around, start walking around the table,
right.
then picking up the knife or fork or something on the other table, start knocking on the table. And, you know.
And it wasn't a crowded restaurant. And it was fairly small and compact, so it's not like you could, like, pretend that it wasn't happening.
Well,
it was
right
there.
We'll talk more about this later, but at this point, I just want to say, we have no children. So we'll kind of start here. But at that point, my father, I would have kicked into father gear, and I would have put that child back in the seat. Not rough him up, I'm not talking about that, but just get the child back in the seat. And begin the process of, you don't do this. This is, you stay in your seat.
Right.
I mean,
I think what we need to do is kind of before we get into more detail mm-hmm. is let's preface this by stating that, no, we don't have any children
right.
of our own.
Right.
We do have four nephews and a niece.
True.
Who we love dearly.
Absolutely.
More than life itself, just mm-hmm. about. They feel like, I feel like they're my own kids. I was there for every one of their births, so I am very attached to these children.
Right.
We don't hate children. Mm-hmm. Let's make that very clear. We don't hate them. We're not against people having children.
Right.
But we have chosen not to have children at
right.
this point in our lives.
Right.
We're getting a little older in age. It's getting mm-hmm. a little more risky, mm-hmm. and in all reality, it would be extremely difficult for us to have a child at this point in time.
And I do want to say this. I understand the importance of being a parent.
Absolutely.
And, you know, there's a lot of people that I highly respect that have mm-hmm. children and are really doing something that's really incredible. They're
right.
raising great citizens, great people,
right.
you know,
right.
and that's fantastic. So, I don't want you to think there's some kind of hidden inner bitterness that I have. You know, I'm not around kids all the time because I'm not a father. So that's very important to understand before we really
right.
begin to talk.
Right.
So, and plus, you know, we don't plan on having children unless God has other ideas going forward. So,
right.
okay, there you go.
So I just want to get that out of the
sure.
way because I don't want people thinking that we're having this rant
no.
about children
no, no,
and
no,
children
no, no.
horrible
Mm-mm.
and blah, blah, and that's not it at all.
No.
The honest to God truth is we want to express, and I think a lot of this stems from people almost pushing us into having kids. And if they don't push us, it's this looking at us like we've just sprouted three heads and we tell them we don't want to have children.
Right.
And it's very frustrating because that's our decision.
Well,
And what? it's not because we don't love kids.
True.
Don't get us wrong. And a lot of what we're going to say is probably going to sound like we're irritated and frustrated and kids are the worst thing on the planet. That's absolutely not true, because we will intersperse it with some very wonderful things about children. But I think the thing is that the importance that so many people place on having children and the pressure to have children and the making us feel like we're incomplete because we haven't had children and are not going to have children.
Well,
it's very frustrating. And yet we sit there and see what happens when people just willy-nilly have kids without thinking it through. So I think I want to make sure that's really clear, that that's kind of where we're coming from.
Now, you may hit me later, but that's okay. We're going to start
I might
here.
Hit you now.
Maybe. When Colleen and I were dating, the questions were already beginning.
Absolutely.
From her family. Well, when are you going to get married?
Right.
So,
but that was 3 weeks into it was 3 months. Three months into dating. It's like, okay, so is he going to propose?
Yeah, it's awesome.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
3 months in.
Yeah.
You know, and we know people who've gotten married, you know, quicker than that.
And
we know people who've gotten engaged faster than that. You know,
I like romance novels too, but, you know, I'm not living one. This is real life.
But I mean, I even know real life
all,
people.
I know we all have our baggage, our past, our things that we need to sift through. And hey, I make decisions when I want to make decisions. And there was pressure. I felt pressure.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So then we got married.
Yes, okay? We did.
You know, there was a point in time where, you know, you and I had a pretty deep talk about what's the future with us about, that kind of a thing. And, you know, from every male comedian, they always warn you that conversation's coming.
Sure.
If you're dating a woman, at some point they're going to say, you know, where's this relationship going? So we got married, and very soon after, not only your family.
Oh, no, no,
but
no.
Everyone.
Yes.
The church we were going to.
3 weeks after our wedding, I was on a weekend retreat, women's retreat.
Yeah.
And the first hour I was there, the questions were, so when are you guys going to have kids?
Yeah.
I looked at them and very politely said, well, considering we've only been married for 3 weeks, I figured we'd have a good couple of years together, just the two of us, before we start thinking about having children. And I said it very nicely, but I was kind of frustrated because it's like, come on, give me a break. We just got married.
Right.
We didn't live together before we got married.
Sure.
We were really, truly enjoying being married.
And that's what I want to say is I kind of mentioned baggage and different things from the past, you know. I was married before. It was not a fun situation. To be honest, I married this woman to rescue her. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if she ever listened to this, you know, I'm sorry. I had the best of intentions. Unfortunately, you know, you never marry someone to rescue them or change them.
Nope.
That is my opinion that I've seen over and over in situations.
Right. You lived it. You understand it.
So the first marriage ended, and I made statements that probably every divorced man has made. I said, I will never get married again.
Right.
And, you know, had my separation time. I dated very interestingly. Maybe that's a whole another show. But then I met Colleen, and I knew that she was the one. And again, you know, if there's guys out there that are dating, say, how do you know? I just knew. And that sounds cheesy. That sounds silly. But I'm telling you, that's the truth.
It's true.
That's the truth.
And I've told the same thing to girls. How'd you know? You cannot explain it. You have to be there. And I kept asking people when I was growing up, how will I know? And I thought for sure other guys were it. They were the one. And I'm very grateful that I did not go ahead and pursue relationships further than I did with those guys, because I probably would have been divorced as well.
You know,
or very, very, very miserable.
You know, I will tell you the one thing that really impressed me about Colleen was her character. Her character.
Aw. That's so sweet.
And her big boobs. But
they're not that big. You make it sound like I'm panhandling.
I'm telling you. Well, okay.
Maybe in your mind.
Well, All right, then. The bottom line is that she has character, and she is strong. Mm-hmm. Sometimes strong is tough, and we have discussions. But the thing that really drew me to her is that she had character, which means that she could stand in tough situations and through tough situations. And we have had tough situations in our marriage. We will not, they're not over. We will have more.
Sure.
But
that's just part of life.
We lost a child.
And
that was tough.
We did.
And again, that's not the reason.
No. And
why
and
we
exactly.
do not want children. No. or don't choose to at this time and aren't. Yeah, working toward
it
that
was,
in,
right.
in the end.
It there. Was not meant to be at that time.
Right.
But, you know, it was a difficult situation because, you know, we weren't planning on it.
Right.
But there was some excitement. There was some, yeah. you know, looking forward to it. Yeah. And when it wasn't meant to be and it didn't happen and, you know, we went through the miscarriage.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, it was fairly early in the pregnancy, but... The point is that it still was a loss, and that yeah. was difficult. But that did not in any way change our decision.
No.
We hadn't planned on the child in the first place. It was a very, you know, wonderful
right.
surprise. But...
One more kind of a somber thing, and then we'll move on, is that the most difficult thing was that I felt and had compassion for Colleen, but I couldn't do anything about it.
Right.
That was so... So difficult, you know, and it has nothing to do with my masculinity or anything like that. I'm married to this woman.
Right.
And I care for her and I want to make sure that she's all right. And mm-hmm. at that point, she wasn't. She felt bad. She felt all the emotions that go with something like that. And
right.
I couldn't do anything about it.
Right.
And so, but women, some women, that would devastate them to the point they couldn't move on. They couldn't
right.
go on.
Right.
And
it's been 5 years now.
Right.
Almost exactly 5 years.
But you have character to know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like you said. I remember discussions that we had. You know, mm-hmm. it was God saying no in
right.
his own way. Not yet.
Not yet.
And for whatever reason, we rest in that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so... As we went forward, you know, that's when we really started to, you know, you were very integral in helping out with your niece and nephews.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
They're all the time, not a whole lot, and really involved in their lives. And mm-hmm. you talk a lot about your niece and nephews.
Well, I love them. They're my
babies.
I understand that.
I mean,
they're my babies.
But I want to... kind of give a spotlight into where you're coming from,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you care about them, just as you said, but I want to validate that.
Right.
It's because, you know, we discuss down to who feels left out and how we can really help that child.
Right.
You know, and I've seen you do that, walk up and hug the middle child,
mm-hmm.
you know, to make
mm-hmm.
sure that he knows that he's loved.
Absolutely.
You know, instead of, you know, running up to the oldest or the youngest. You know, usually people gravitate to the youngest or to the oldest for whatever reason.
Or the only girl.
Right.
Or
right.
the cute
Correct.
One that says funny little things. You know, seriously, I didn't give birth to these kids, but I seriously feel like I did. I didn't, you know, I don't mean from a physical perspective, but from an
right.
emotional, you know, connection that I feel with them. And again, it's primarily because, you know, I was there. I watched them take their first breath.
Right.
And it's a pretty amazing thing.
And that's true. She has been at, I think, just about all the births.
Every one of them.
Every
single one of them.
That's right.
I watched them pop their little faces into the world. I watched them take their first breath and cry for the first time.
God bless you. That boy, I don't know. That'd be...
I watched my sister, who, I have to say this, my sister is honestly my hero. Because with the first three kids, she had an epidural, and, you know, it was all induced. She knew when she was having these kids. She knew,
mm-hmm.
picked out their birthdays, basically. That was her doctor that at the time that did that. That was his method. With child number four, and they incrementally got bigger in weight. They started at, like, 7, 9, went to 8, 13 and then went to 9.5 pounds with the third child. She dropped back down to 7 pounds, 7 ounces with child number 4. But she had him 100% natural. She had no epidural. She just plopped him right on out. It was awesome to watch. And then, surprise, surprise, they were only planning on 4 kids. And surprise, surprise, along comes number 5.
Right.
Number 5 was 11 pounds, 1 ounce. That's right, you heard me. 11 pounds, 1 ounce. The average baby is about 7.5 pounds.
Yeah.
So having an 11-pounder, he was huge. And she, yet again, had him no epidural, nothing, all natural. And she's my hero for going through that. I mean, that's unbelievable, you know, an unbelievable accomplishment.
Right. Well, so I think that's kind of enough background.
Sure.
These people that are listening probably have seen more into our marriage in the last 15 minutes than they probably ever would expect. But I think it's important to open up a little bit, especially when we dive into the next part. We were at Hook's Point Restaurant, Disneyland Hotel. This little child was just really wandering without any type of...
No supervision.
Supervision. Mm-hmm. The parents were there.
They were chatting.
And, you know, it got to the point where the child screamed bloody murder. Then the mother got up and got the child. Now, the probably the thought process up to then, maybe, was, I can see him.
Sure.
He is not in danger.
Right.
He's okay. Unfortunately, he's picking up forks, knocking it on the tabletop, touching things on someone else's table.
Mm-hmm.
Was he sick? These are just questions that normal people ask. Look, I work in a corporation, and there's signs all over. Please wash your hands. Please, don't touch your cup to the tip of the water spigot when you're getting water out of the purified thing. All these things, germs and people are germaphobes also, some of them. So, I mean, all these things. And when the child screamed and everybody turned around, then the mother stood up. And then went into action. And I was like, are you kidding?
Right.
You know. So
it's too late at that point. It should never have gotten to that point.
We go to Disneyland, which is the happiest place on earth. I tell you.
Not always.
There are some kids and some families that in their own family make it not that. It is not the happiest place on earth.
No. A lot of times it's not.
Even beyond... just leaving. Because I know that when you're leaving, as a kid, when you're leaving someplace you want to stay and you're having fun, you cry. Okay, sure. I'll give them that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But these bratty, spoiled children that their parents give them the world. Mm-hmm. And they live over in Back Bay in Newport Coast or wherever.
Sure.
Some hooty-fanooty place. They bring their kids over to Disneyland. And they promise them all these things. You're going to ride on the front of the monorail, you know. And they make these promises, And then they kind of deal with the people like business people. Oh, can I, what can I do to make it happen? And the lady goes, nothing. Because, that person's already been waiting. Nobody waits in line anymore. And these parents try and force these things. And these kids pick that up. And so when... the parents are told no, the kids start whining and crying and throwing a fit. Is that a good thing to pass on to your kids?
No.
How not to accept no?
No, absolutely not. It's amazing to me that somewhere between, it seems to me, somewhere between the 80s and now, parenting took a whole different turn because, and I understand a lot of it is, okay, let's talk about it because it's a reality. Let's talk about the abuse.
Okay.
Let's talk about child abuse. It is rampant in society, but let's kind of maybe look at some of the reasons of why it perhaps could be so rampant.
Okay.
I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that you have people who are ill-prepared to have children are having children.
True.
You have people who have children as a tax write-off, mm-hmm. as a way of making money.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, they're not having children because they really, truly love these little people.
I would say peer pressure as well.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go there, but I'm going to say some family structures, having children is kind of a rite of passage.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. So, I'm with what you're saying.
But I think what it is people having children who are not prepared to have mm-hmm. children. It's funny, you know, one of my, you know, I wouldn't say favorite movies, but a movie that I really, really enjoy and watch it from time to time is Parenthood. It was from the
sure.
late 80s.
Yeah.
And in that movie, Keanu Reeves, which, ironically, Keanu Reeves had one of the probably the best lines in that whole entire movie. He was helping Diane Weiss' character with her son,
right.
who was going through puberty. Didn't understand why he was bodily, you know, his body was having all these changes.
Right.
So he sat with him and he talked to him and he's like, you know, he says, you know, he just needs a good, you know, father figure. Or she said he needs a father. And he says, yeah, but you know what? I had a father who flicked mm-hmm. lit cigarettes at my head, wake up butthole, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of stuff. And he goes, you know, Ms. Buckman, you have to have a license to drive a car, mm-hmm. to hunt. You even need a license to catch a fish. But they'll let any butt-reaming jerk, sorry, change the word, be a father.
Mm-hmm.
I think that applies to both mothers and fathers.
Right.
You don't have to have any kind of test. You don't have to pass any kind of test. You don't have to, like, prove that you're worthy, prove that you have yourself under control. Pretty much if you can create a baby, you yep. can be a parent.
Uh-huh.
And the sad fact is that people are having babies who shouldn't be having babies. Mm-hmm. And I'm not even talking about teenage pregnancies. I'm not talking about those.
Sure.
I'm seriously talking about adults who are of age to even vote, drink, etc. And they still shouldn't be having children.
Now, you know, I want to stay on the path, but let me just toss a couple of names out there. Britney Spears.
You know, oh,
Britney's
yes.
a mom, see?
Britney's a mother, you know? Right. And how many times in the last 6 months that her baby's been alive have we had to deal with stories about child services
yeah.
or police,
yeah.
sheriffs going to her house? Does anybody else besides me think that that woman should have her baby taken away from her?
Mm.
No offense, but I don't think she's prepared for this because she's just very, very young and not prepared.
What is odd to me? Okay. The thing about most women is they work in an office. They're probably in a corporation or something.
Actually, I'm finding, sadly enough, well, I don't know if sadly is the right word, but oddly enough, I'm finding that a lot of women are not working anymore. They're
okay.
staying at home.
Okay.
They're managing to eke an existence out, or they're, you know, sacrificing this and that and the other thing. Their husbands make unbelievable amounts of money, but they're able to stay home. And I think that's wonderful. That they are staying home,
yeah.
as long as they're staying home to really raise their kids.
And they all go shopping at Target at noon when I go there.
That's a whole other ball game.
Anyway, but okay, let's go there then.
Okay.
Then they have all day
mm-hmm.
to do what they need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, you know, you see Britney Spears just to me, just not aware of who she is. Now, up to this point, and I think until this point, she was a pop star.
Sure.
I think those days are long gone, but that's just my opinion. Now she's a mother. She doesn't think.
No.
Doesn't think for a second that if she takes that baby, who is the daughter, son. The son of Britney Spears, that the paparazzi's not going to go after her. Did she take a leave and go away and come back?
No.
Did she forget?
No.
I mean, you see, that's the thing. And just like you said, being prepared. You need to be aware. And she kind of thinks that if she may say in some interview, and I don't even know if she did this, but she may, I think she may think if she says in an interview, please leave me alone. Please leave my baby alone. That's going to be okay. Because She's driving delusional. Around, and she's, like, shocked that the paparazzi are going to follow her. And she's thrown the baby in her front to her front, her lap.
But even better than that, let's go back to the reality of things. She had the baby in the car seat.
Right.
She took him out while her husband. Don't even get me started on him. While her husband went in to go get lattes for them, or wherever he was going. Right. Somebody was with her, and they were going to get some in the store. So she stayed in the car. Now, what kind of a nitwit do you think, honestly, in their mind, has no intelligence to sit there and say, maybe I should keep the baby in the car. Maybe I should, you know, leave him in the car seat. What does she think they're going to do? Open up the back seat and try and take pictures of him? Lock the doors, for God's sake. Keep the windows rolled up. And don't tell me she didn't have tinted windows, because I know darn good well she does.
Well, can't the painted trailer queen leave the baby at her house with a nanny? Or maybe her mom, who has a little less to do these days. I mean, come on.
Honestly, the reality is that for Brittany, this seems like just such a great, you know, adventure and a fun little thing to do until she gets tired of the toy. And then she'll have a nanny who will raise her son.
That's true.
For her right now, this is a great adventure. And boy, she just loves motherhood. She loves it so much that she's endangered her child now twice. Yeah. The car incident, and now with the high chair.
Well,
and don't tell me that the high chair malfunctioned.
We weren't there for the high chair. But we did see pictures.
Sure.
Pictures of the incident in the car with the baby with her on the front seat. She was scared. Okay. Now, I mean, just... Listen, we grew up in times where we didn't have seat belts, and we played around with broken glass, we stepped on nails, and all these kind of things. I mean, but we understood, you know, what needed to be done. I mean, the kids are going to be kids, but parents knew how to do things. Well, we were growing up. I mean, I don't know. I think it's just the age of distraction.
Well, I think there's that, but I think the other thing that I'm seeing a lot more is that parents are not being parents.
Okay.
They're being pals with their kids. They want to be seen as the cool mom, the cool dad. They want to be seen as their children's friend, because it's so important to have that good friendship with your children. I'm here to tell you that I don't agree with that. Because, honestly, your children need parents. They need authority in their lives. I work with too many people right now whose parents are too chummy with them and who don't know how to control them and who didn't raise them right, in my opinion, because their kids are spoiled brats. Even at 25, 26 years of age, their children are unbelievable spoiled brats who have absolutely no thought for anyone else but themselves. The whole world revolves around them. And let me just tell you, this is unbelievably frustrating. Because now, as management, I get to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what I'm dealing with right now with a very small percentage of the people I work with. But guess what? When these little tiny little children who are now 8 and 9 and 10 years old get to be in the workforce, it's going to make work unbearable for people.
At this point, this is what I'm going to say, because I don't have a crystal ball. I don't know what's going to happen in the future. I don't even know if they work anyway. But then the bottom line is, I want to let people know that it's okay to be married and not have children. Now,
I would agree with you.
Let me say this. We know personally many couples who could not have children and just the utter duress they've gone through. Now, listen to me. I validate their feelings, okay?
Sure.
I know that it's something that they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
But at one point do you say spending all those thousands of dollars for fertility shots and this and that and do this and try this and do, when do you stop and say, you know, maybe God did what? Now, a lot of these couples that we know ended up having children after they ended taking all the fertility shots. Can you imagine that?
Right.
You know, it's like this huge push. And a lot of people, you know, all of a sudden, well, we can't have children. Now listen to me. I know the Bible says that a man should have a quiver full of children and all this. I know that's what the Bible says.
Right.
But in the Bible days, if you didn't have kids, the population did not continue.
Right.
Let me tell y'all something. There's this population that's continuing around here.
Right.
Oh, there's all kind of people.
Right.
And, you know, people say, well, you need to have kids to take care of you. I've known a lot of children that don't give two pins about their parents.
Right.
They shove them away in a home.
Mm-hmm.
And the convalescent home people take care of them.
Sure.
The kids come by when they can because they got a mortgage that needs two people to work.
Right.
That ain't going to fly.
No. Uh-uh.
I don't think, for the most part, kids don't move their parents in the house.
Nope.
Because the parents need to, or the kids need to work.
Mm-hmm.
So try another one. Because I don't see that working.
More importantly, here's the thing. For these people who are just so absolutely desperate to have children, I knew someone like this about 10 years ago who she was so unbelievably obsessed with, and I use that word very, very strongly, obsessed with having a child, that she wouldn't hang out with anybody who didn't have children. She just flat out didn't want to talk to you. If you didn't have a baby, you were not on her list. She was so just consumed with it that she was just so devastated all the time. They've tried every month and it's not happening and blah, 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 blah. Well, one of our friends and I sat her down one evening and we said, look, you are making yourself crazy by being so consumed with this, that's probably why you're not able to get pregnant in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
If you just let it go, mm-hmm. relax, let it happen naturally, you'll find you will be a lot easier to get pregnant than you are right now. Because you're stressing out so much, your body is just going to shut down. I'm not going to do anything about this. Sure enough, I lost contact with her for a few years. Sure enough, she ended up having two children,
mm-hmm.
2 years apart. And I saw her again after she had the second child. And I said, well, looks like you got your babies. You got your boys. I said, how are you? You know, how's it going? She said, well, you know, I love my boys. Don't get me wrong. But it's not what I expected.
Mm. Ah. What? can you bring that around one more time? What'd you say?
She looked at me and said, I love my boys. Don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And when she said that, I kind of went, okay. But it's not what I expected.
Oh.
The funny thing is that we kept telling her. It's not all fun and games.
Yeah.
It's not all sweet smelling and, oh, they're so cute. And, oh, they just, you know, when they love on you and hug on you and kiss on you and I love you, mommy. That is definitely a part of it. I see my sister's kids do that. You know, I love it when they will come up and throw their arms around me and hug on me and want to play with me and want to talk to me. But I also see the parts when they will sit and scream at me and tell me, no, I don't want to talk to you. Mm-hmm. You go away.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely a part. I mean, it's, you get both sides of it. And that's what I think a lot of people forget is that they just see babies are just so romantic and so sweet. And, oh, they're just such a wonderful expression of our love for each other. Yeah, they are. But guess what? They are actual people. They are little tiny people that will grow up to be big people who will grow up to be snotty, bratty people, or they'll become good citizens.
And their little recorders.
You betcha.
That record what you say
and
pick up the feelings and the emotion that you are, you know, reflecting off. Yeah.
Yep.
And so if you are overwhelmed with having children and just you simmer and boil all the time, that's going to be reflected to your children.
You betcha.
You're going to pass that on. That's just, again, my opinion. I'm not a doctor. I've not written a book about it, but
we've seen it. It's not like, sweetie, honestly, people go, and I've even had people say this. I went to a baby shower for somebody, a friend of ours who Ended up having 3 children all within the space of 4 years. You do the math. None of them were twins. She was getting ready to have the first child, and there was a baby shower for her. And one of the little games or things we did at the shower was we got to write pieces of advice on the back of a 3x5 card.
Mm-hmm.
One of the girls, single girl, well, she was still married at the time, but she was on her way to being single. She didn't want to write something on the back. And I said, well, why not? And she goes, well, who am I to presume I have any advice to give her? I don't have any children. Why would you write anything on the back either? You never had kids. I was a little unhappy with her for that comment because, you know, it really doesn't matter whether I've had kids or not. I think just having kids doesn't make you an expert any more than not having kids makes you an expert.
True.
Because if you're having kids makes you an expert, then we'd have a lot less problems in the world with our children.
True.
And we can talk all day long about the problems we could have with children. But at any rate, the point is that, you know, I think we all see what happens when kids are not disciplined, when kids are not raised properly. We just celebrated an anniversary of a tragic, tragic occurrence that I think honestly comes back to how the kids were raised.
Mm-hmm.
And not so much, let me throw this out too, because I think that's kind of, you get into trouble saying stuff like that. I don't mean that the parents were bad parents necessarily.
Which one are you talking about?
I'm talking about Columbine.
Okay.
The parents were not necessarily bad parents because of how they raised the kids. They probably provided for their kids. They probably loved their kids. But I think that parents forget that once kids become independent enough to be able to do things on their own, they just kind of go, well, they can take care of themselves. Not really.
Yeah.
I'm going to just say that again. Kids, once they get to a certain age and can kind of, you know, get their own plates and, you know, fix their own sandwiches and put their own clothes on and, you know, take care of themselves essentially, do the basics of nature, that does not make them independent and does not mean that you stop parenting them. That doesn't happen until they leave your nest, whatever age that is. If that's 18, if that's 22, you know, I mean, you got to still be a parent. You can't stop being a parent.
Let's move on to another area. Nanny 911.
Oh, Super Nanny and Nanny.
Super Nanny. Super Nanny.
Super
is
Nanny
one.
Is Super Nanny.
I love
well,
Super Nanny.
There's Nanny 911, but there's Super Nanny is awesome. Super Nanny Joe is really awesome because she doesn't address the problems with the kids nearly as much as she addresses the problems with the parents.
Sure.
What an absolute concept.
Right. The thing, as a general statement about most of the shows, and this is my opinion. You can help me out. My wife does kind of keep me on the straight and narrow, is that I think mothers get used to that roar of cacophony that is a group of children just raising hell.
Do you know why? Do you know why I think a lot of mothers get really overwhelmed by that and just kind of become impervious?
Tune it out
completely? Because sadly enough, I've heard it often enough that it makes me want to gag. People hear, well, now you don't want to squash their little spirits. Really?
I'd rather squash their spirit than squash them.
But see, here's the thing, is a child who is out of control, yelling and screaming at the top of their lungs, really expressing themselves? No.
Now, this is
expressing themselves.
Now, I'm just going to make this statement and we'll move back to what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
If we had kids,
right,
and if, you know, if God did that for us in the normal nature of things, or we adopted for some reason down the line or whatever, the bottom line is I would be the bad cop.
No, I disagree.
I'm telling you I would be the bad cop.
Nope. I think it would be an equal thing. And here's why. Because that's another misconception I think is wrong with society in a lot of reasons. or in a lot of ways, is that people think dad has to be the disciplinarian and mom has to be the nurturer and whatever. I think mom should be a disciplinarian as well as dad should be a nurturer. I think it's a 50-50. There should be no distinction. It should never be, you know, I'm going to go ask mom because she's sweet, or I'm going to go ask dad because I know he'll let me do it, or mom's mean or dad's mean. I mean, that should never be that way.
I'm not making this overall general statement here, but I'm going to say this. I would do my level best with everything in my being. I would read books. I would talk to people. I would go to class. I would be read up on it. Just like I research everything else.
Right.
I would do my best to raise little ladies, a little gentlemen, that people would love to take out to eat.
Sure.
Because they would be well behaved.
Sure.
Quiet. Play games. Have a good time. Be kids, but not raise Cain.
You know, I've seen some of the, we watched some of the Super Nanny shows, and we've seen how she handles when kids are out in public. And she's got the right of it in that she says, look, children, especially little ones, are not going to understand that they need to behave properly in a public place. They don't have rational thought in their heads. You can't just sit there and go, now, Johnny, you need to behave like a little gentleman while we're out here. That means you need to be quiet, and you need to be polite, and you need to be conscientious of the people around you. Little Johnny, who's 3 years old, doesn't understand even half the words you just said to him. But the point is that Super Nanny Joe likes to say, okay, take something that's going to entertain the kids. Take a backpack filled with, you know, little snacks that they might like, because they may not want to eat what you order for them, or... and also, in addition, take something for them to do. If it's a toy, something that they can do quietly, but you need to express to them they can play with their toy, but they need to do it quietly, and they can only play with their toy when they're done with dinner.
Right.
You know, I mean, there's rules and boundaries. Another good example. My best friend lives out of state, and I went to visit a few years back, actually before I even met you. And her girls were fairly young at the time. I think they were like four and five at the time. And the four-year-old was not eating very well. She's a tiny little petite little thing anyway. She was real small. I think she was like 6.5 pounds, not even quite 7 at birth. She was real petite, and that's just naturally runs in their family. Well, she didn't want to eat. We went to Wendy's and she didn't want to eat, and she was much more interested in the toy. So, because she had been sick and had been in the hospital for that because of her lack of eating and lack of nutrition, I basically looked at my friend and I said, you're going to have to back me up on this, but let me handle her. I said, I'm not an expert, but I'll try anything at this point in time. If it works, go ahead and do it. If it doesn't, then it doesn't work. But I sat there and I said, Kayla, can I see your little toy? She handed it to me and I said, okay. You're not getting it back now until you eat. And I said, cut up her hamburger. Cut up her hamburger in a bunch of little pieces. So she did, and I said, set aside 5 of those pieces for her. I said, you have to eat all those. I said, now set aside 3 of her French fries and all of those.
Right.
If you eat all of those, then you will get your toy back.
Mm-hmm.
She literally wasn't going to eat anything at that point in time. And I thought, that's just not good for the child.
Right.
But the interesting thing is that we did do it, and she did do it, and she's grown into a beautiful, young, healthy little girl. You know, I'm not saying that I did anything other than I just set the boundaries, and I said, look, you know, up to that point, pretty much anything the girls wanted and wanted to do, they got. And it doesn't work that way.
I think parents get overwhelmed and give up. And I think that's really the basis of Super Nanny.
Yeah,
they tune it out, they give up, and they just kind of allow kids to, at a young age, curse at them, kick them, destroy things, run around, cause problems when they go out to eat, those kind of things.
Right.
You know, my question is that fulfilling for the parents? I mean, because all we hear is, it's going to make your life complete. Have, you know, 4 children. Oh, yeah. Oh, it's going to make... Really? Then why is there a Super Nanny?
I agree with
you. Well, why is there a show like that out there?
There's no
reason
for it.
If the kids are just the end-all, be-all of everything. And listen, people. It ain't just... It's church people, too.
Mm-hmm.
Now, church people should understand structure. They got a book that has boundaries. Sure. But I'm telling you that you go to any church, and after the service is over, it is a mess. Kids running everywhere. The parents don't know where no kid is. It is just a hootenanny mess.
It is. But
I mean, okay.
Look, we have our, clearly we have our little frustrations, and again, you know, I know people are thinking, well, who are you? What are you? How could you say these things? I think, interestingly enough, we're going to find more people who agree with us than disagree with us. I think the people who disagree or who do agree with us are a little more afraid to say something because of all the people who disagree with us. I mean, when we've told people, look, we're not planning to have any kids. Oh, come on. Aren't you going to have at least, you know, aren't you really going to have children? Are you sure you really? I mean, because you don't want to regret that, do you? Well, okay, we're not planning on it. If it happens, it happens, and we'll be happy either way. And if we do have a child, it'll be one child. Oh, you can't just have one child. Are you kidding me? No, that's just completely selfish. You need to have at least two, maybe three.
I love it when people spend other people's money, and that's really what they're doing.
Absolutely.
They're foisting their ideology on you.
Sure.
Now, they're never going to change any diaper.
No,
comes off of any of the kids that they're telling you to have.
No.
Oh, my. They're just using words are cheap.
And at this point in time, you know what? If I get the people who say to me, well, you need to have at least two or three kids, great. So
I'm going
to
set you up.
So what time slot would you like to have for the midnight feedings? Would you rather have the earliest shift or the later shift?
That is correct. That is correct.
Because I got news for you.
Because when Jeff is traveling,
you
definitely need to be here.
Oh.
So I'll be calling you about 2. I'll give you a half hour to get over here. And you can feed the child.
Right. And don't worry. It won't be like the child will, you know, because I would put my child on a schedule from the minute they're born.
Sure. Okay. I think we've raised enough dust as it is. I want to tell one more story, and I kind of want to have some end comments.
Okay.
We have some friends that called us up one day. Let me put you in this situation, you that are listening. What would you do? I got a phone call. Hi, my daughter is having a baby. She's going to put it up for adoption. Do you want it? What would you do? You know, probably some females, I hope some females listen to this show, but I think some would, oh, I take it. Okay. You know, but I'm really talking to the guys that are married. Maybe not. Who knows? What would you do? I said, let me talk it over with my wife. And I paused for about 2 seconds. I said, no, the kids are not in the cards right now. And I thank you for your offer, but I'm going to have to say no. Okay, well, we want to offer it. I appreciate that, but thank you, but no. And I hung up the phone. You see, people that we know are trying to give us kids that their kids don't want. Now, listen, that's a very touching thing. And I was very touched.
Absolutely.
But I felt I had to be honest instead of the old church folk, let me pray about it and get back to you. That's churchies for, I'm going to put you off for a while. And that's the truth.
Yeah.
There may be situations where that's honest. But I'm telling you, for the most part, that's what that means. I'll pray about it. That means just don't leave me alone for a while. I don't want to tell you to your face right now. You'll just get it. That's like a girl that don't want to see you, don't call you for a while. Oh, yeah, I'll call you. Yeah, she don't call you. Anyway, but the bottom line is, we support a child in Africa.
Absolutely.
Okay? You know, there's a lot of people say, well, so what? Well, are you? Well, I mean, we're doing something. It's one thing to say, well, we want to bring in a child to keep the bloodline. Both of our families have issues. Now, listen, I don't even want to go into it. My first marriage was not good. I love my wife. Now, I'm enjoying mm-hmm. my marriage. Mm-hmm. And you know what, people? I don't feel bad about it. I just want to enjoy my marriage. Mm-hmm. And that's
you know what?
It. I mean,
honestly, here's the bottom line. We don't have children of our own that sprang from our loins, either of our loins. But we do have children that we care for mm. and are trying our best to nurture and to raise that are not even related to us. And they may not even be technically children anymore.
Right. That's true.
What we do and how we interact with people, we're trying desperately to be good parents to people
right.
who maybe didn't have good parents.
That's very true.
We're taking care of people that's who right. don't have parents that can or will take right. care of them.
That is part of what this show's about. Part of it.
Sure.
I also want to tell another story. I remember Andrew Bettis, host of In the Beginning, another podcast. And he was telling a story of when he was talking to Nathan P. Butler. And he said, you know, how can I pay you back for helping me out? And Nathan says, do me a favor. The next time someone comes up to you and needs help, just help them. So Nathan understood the idea of paying it forward.
Mm-hmm.
I'm helping you. You help somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
I have helped out a number of people on the message boards in the Star Wars fan audio community. I have helped them along. You know, there was a situation with one person. It was kind of a tense situation. And I bridged the gap. I contacted that person and I brought them into the community. And that person is a strong member of the community and helping others. And I think it's a wonderful thing.
Mm-hmm.
There are people that we are surrounded by that had just jerk fathers, just awful fathers,
mm-hmm.
and wrestle with that mm-hmm. and have these issues. And I don't care. They're Christian, atheist. It doesn't matter.
Right.
They were unprepared to be fathers. And see, pass that down to their sons, and now the sons have issues that
right.
didn't work it out. They don't know how to get rid of their anger. They don't know how to communicate. They don't know how to have relationships. They don't have a clue how to live life.
Right.
They can pay bills, they can buy this, they can buy that, but they don't know how to socialize, have a strong relationship, and understand that love not only means getting along, but it also means agreeing to disagree. There's so many levels to life, and I am trying to help.
Yep.
You know, and you may say, oh, Jeff, that's pretty noble. Well, that's the truth. You know, there are guys I know that I try to help on levels about just, you know, being good people.
Mm-hmm.
Being good men, talk to them. And, you know, some of the discussions I have with people just blow your mind. Just, you know, it's amazing to me. And women, too,
mm-hmm.
when we're talking about things. I mean, it's so bizarre. You'll sit and they'll talk to somebody. And there's a girl, a number of years ago, I was abused when I was young by my father. It just came out. And there's this pain that people carry. Listen, if I can help, even having them talk it out, apart from the religious aspect, if I can help them talk it out, that's worth having four kids. That's worth having seven kids. If I can help grown men
mm-hmm.
who never had had a childhood, never had a father, then that's worth it to me.
Right.
That's worth it to me.
And again, isn't the point of parenting to raise a person who will become a better person mm-hmm. than you were?
Right.
Isn't that the dream of most parents?
Right.
Most really good parents will say that their dream is always for their children is better than what they had.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've ever heard any really good, true parent who really loves their kids say that they would hope that their children become really spoiled brats and drain society.
Yeah.
Nobody's ever said that. But the good parents out there, and there are a lot of good parents out there, they want better for their children than they had for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's our goal, is to have better for our friends and family and other people, anybody who comes to us, anybody who listens to the show, anybody who has a need, we want better for them than right. what we had for ourselves.
I want to love everybody. Mm-hmm. Catholic, Mormon, gay, Christian. I want to love everybody.
Yeah, there should be no distinction.
I want to be a friend to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But I also want to have the opportunity and look for that opportunity right. to raise people. Now, again, just kind of touching on what we talked about, kind of helping people get through that baggage. Anything that I can do. Listen, you know, give them a TV. Give them $10. Buy them lunch. I don't know, something. I want to do something
mm-hmm.
to help these people
mm-hmm.
that had rotten parents.
Right.
So you could say, in a way, our children are the world. I mean, I don't know what else to say. It's the people that you meet, people on a plane, people in another country. I don't know. But I'm more concerned about just the people that I meet that most mm-hmm. everybody passes by and doesn't give a second thought about. And I want to try and at least leave myself open to that. I'm not always successful, but I at least want to try.
Right.
So, we had some fun. We had some, you know, pretty somber moments, but this is a multi-layered subject. And
right.
there is just a lot of things to it. So, I welcome your feedback. And let us know what you think. Because there's a lot of different sides to this. So, but I appreciate you listening. And tell your friends, and if my family's listening, I'm sorry, give me a call. I don't know.
No, nothing to be sorry for.
Okay.
I mean, we've expressed our own opinions. Nobody has to agree with them. They're our opinions.
Right.
But we bring up some valid points that I think a lot of people who will listen will say, gosh, I felt the exact same way when I never had the courage to say anything, or I couldn't put it into words that way, or I never thought about it like that.
Right.
You know?
Okay.
It's not an easy subject, but it's something that we wanted to talk about.
Okay. And just a little look forward, everybody. We're going to do a show on the Da Vinci Code coming up. Yeah, a week or so, maybe.
Maybe.
So.
Actually, a little longer than that, because we're on vacation next week.
Right. So email my wife and tell her to read the Da Vinci Code really fast.
I am reading the Da Vinci Code. I'm on chapter 6.
Okay. So anyway, thanks so much for listening, guys and gals.
Yes.
And we'll see you next time.
Yeah, we know. Everybody used to love Raymond, but now everybody loves Tatooine TV. Tatooine TV. Very funny Star Wars audio parodies. Only available at jrdonline.com.
Ronnie's Zone Radio.